The Royal Gelatin Hour, directed by Rudy Vallee, presenting Jack Buchanan, Frank Craven, Frank Sullivan, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, Fred Hildebrand.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Vallee and Company. To finish off a year in the style to which it has become accustomed, here are five merry gentlemen. One, Jack Buchanan, England's number one boy in the movie and on the London musical comedy stage, currently starring on Broadway in Between the Devil. Two, Frank Craven, actor, writer, and director, newly arrived from Hollywood for his first Broadway role in several years. Frank will be heard in a New Year's drama of Football and the Rose Bowl. Three, Frank Sullivan, New Yorker humorist, interviewed on 1938 and What to Do About It, or Else. Four, Fred Hildebrand, new comedian, favorite cut-up of the Lambs Club. Five, Tommy Riggs, celebrated dual personality with the ever-present, ever-delightful Betty Lou Barry, his alter ego. And to you and yours, every good wish for a happy and prosperous new year. It began at a summer camp in the Catskills and has become the rage of New York. Warner Brothers have put it in the picture to love, honor, and behave. Of course, you know it is By Mere Bis du Shane. Of all the girls I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you. Deserve expressions really fit you. And so I've racked my brain, hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By mere bis du Shane, please let me explain. By mere bis du Shane means that you're grand. By mere bis du Shane, again let me explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even Wunderbar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain by mere bis du Shane. So kiss me and say you understand. At long last, we present Jack Buchanan. For nearly 5 years, we've been trying to place Jack the debonair in front of our microphone. Circumstances always seem to have prevented it. When we were in England last May, for instance, Jack was just starting work as the head of his own picture company. Naturally, he couldn't be disturbed. The elusive Buchanan, as you probably know, is England's pride and joy on, as the English say, the films. Having completed 5 pictures in 6 months for Buchanan Limited, Jack is now singing and dancing for Broadway audiences in Between the Devil. As he has a date with an early curtain, we usher him on stage at once. America, meet England's favorite, Jack Buchanan.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, Jack, I want to apologize for not getting down to meet your boat when you landed a couple of weeks ago.
No, that's all right. I'm afraid you'd have got crushed in the mob anyway. You know, Rudy, I was touched. I really was. I never expected such a crowd of enthusiastic fans. While there were bands playing, women cheering, young girls fainting right and left.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I had no idea you were so popular in this country, Jack.
I know. That's exactly what I said to Robert Taylor, who was in the boat with me. I mean, but honestly, that crowd was so bad, I didn't even have a chance to get my luggage through the customs, so I had to leave it there.
What kind of a crossing did you have?
Oh, well, it had its ups and downs and vice versa.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you arrived safely, Jack, because you were mighty nice to me when I was in London. I never will forget the night you asked me to dinner at your uncle's house. Where is that place he lives?
My uncle? Oh, he lives at 141 Belgrave Square.
Now I remember that delightful old Elizabethan ruin with the big stoop.
Yeah, that's uncle. That's him. I say, Rudy, did you like London?
Oh, I had a lot of fun there, Jack, and I saw some good shows, too. I liked one of them so much, I went to see it twice.
Twice? Oh, that's nothing. Why, when we English like a show, we may go to it over and over again. You Americans never go to the same show 20 or 30 times?
No, Jack. If we can't understand it the second time, we give up. Incidentally, I think you'll find that in America, radio is quite different from in England, you know.
Oh, really? In what way?
Well, over here, we go in more for unusual personalities. Did you know that the most popular radio personality in America today is a dummy?
Oh, Rudy, you're just self-conscious. You know, we're all of us just a little wooden at times. I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, in spite of that, Jack, we're glad to welcome you here. And I think you'll find that everyone around the studio will make you feel at home with real American courtesy.
Yes, I found that out already.
Oh?
Yes, a minute ago I thought I'd go into the control booth over there and make the acquaintance of the engineer. As soon as I opened the door, he turned to me and yelled, "Say, you, put your hand on one of those two wires." Well, being anxious to oblige, I picked up one of the wires. He said, "Do you feel anything?" I said, "No." He said, "Good. I wasn't sure which was which. Don't touch the other one or you'll drop dead." Charming man. He really is. Charming.
Jack, did I understand you to say that you left all your trunks down at the customs pier?
That's right. Oh, think nothing of it. Just a lot of odds and ends. As soon as we stop having extra holiday matinees, I'll toddle down and bail them out. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Valley, being a daring lad, has suggested I sing a song from Between the Devil, something called By Myself. You see, in the play, two women are madly in love with me. Musical comedies are like that, you know. Highly improbable and a little feeble-minded. Well, by a set of curious circumstances, I marry both women and get arrested for bigamy. As I'm being carted off to a dungeon, I reflect as follows. If you please, Rudy.
The party's over, the game is ended, the dreams I dreamed went up in smoke. It didn't pan out as intended, I should know how to take a joke. I'll go my way by myself. Here's how the comedy ends. I'll have to deny myself love and laughter and friends. Gray clouds in the sky above have put a blot on my fun. I'll have to fly high above for a place in the sun. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone. I'll go.
Hey, just a minute. Stop that there music. Look, which one of you mugs is Jack Buchanan?
Pardon me, one of my fans. Well, I'm Jack Buchanan.
Yeah, well, I'm from the customs office. There's a little matter of 48 trunks you left on the dock.
Oh, yes, thanks very much. Just deliver them to my hotel.
Damn trunks won't be delivered no way, mister. Not you explain what you got in them.
Now, listen, don't be tiresome, old boy. I gave you fellas an itemized list of exactly what's in each of those trunks. Now, where's the list?
Right here. Look what you got written here.
Come on, give me that list. Here you are. Perfectly simple. child of three could understand it. Trunk number one, miscellaneous. Trunk number two, this and that. Trunk number three, gadgets, et cetera, et cetera.
Eh? Gadgets? What do you mean, gadgets?
Gadgets? Oh, you know, I mean, odds and ends. Ought to be a little more explicit. Well, I mean things, you know.
I get it. You're trying to confuse me. You're a smuggler, and you're going to jail.
Now, listen, you can't send me to jail.
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, can you?
It's illegal to bring through the customs without paying duty merchandise to be sold in this country.
But, my dear man, I'm not going to sell it.
Don't dear man me. Hey, listen. When we opened one of those trunks of yours, we found 136 shirts. Hmm? Now, what's the idea of bringing in 136 shirts?
Well, I mean, a fellow's got something to wear.
Hey, you. Huh? You ain't by no chance intending to sell them shirts, are you?
No, not if my show stays open another 10 weeks or so.
Don't get fresh.
Well, now that everything's settled, if you'll just run along.
Everything ain't settled. You're coming with me.
Well, wait a minute, officer. This man's in my program. He's a comedian.
Oh, no, really, Rudy. I mean to say, after all...
Sorry, Mr. Valley. He'll have to come now.
Listen, Sherlock, won't you trust me for 10 minutes?
Hey, I wouldn't trust even my own brother for 10 minutes.
Well, you know your relatives better than I do.
Don't get insulting. You're going to need friends. The United States government hands out some pretty stiff sentences for smuggling.
Smuggling, my eye. You listen here. I declared everything that was dutiable. I'm no smuggler, and you'll be sorry for this.
Hey, by the way, that's a nice diamond ring you're wearing there.
Oh, you like it, really?
Yeah.
I picked it up in Paris a couple of weeks ago.
Ah. Did you declare that?
No, but you can't get me on that. No. This time the laugh's on you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, this diamond isn't mine. I brought it in for my cousin. He sells jewelry. That'll be all right.
Well, Mr. Buchanan, for the next 10 years, you're going to be strictly by yourself.
Thanks very much. I'll have to pass up all the dinner parties I've been asked to attend. Parties are now at an end, but one comforting consolation, I won't have to listen to the boring conversation. Have to pass up all the shooting weekends in Gloucester, Worcester, and Kent. Oh, the weekends I spend make me want to yell from St. Paul's steeple, the people I'd like to shoot are the shooting people. I'm in the doghouse, persona non grata, receiving snubs at all the clubs. Let me give you a little more data. I've been no more on the gay Riviera, turning winter to spring. An unforgivable thing has put an end to my fling. I'll go my way by myself. Here's how the comedy ends. I'll have to deny myself love, laughter and friends. Gray clouds in the sky above have put a blot on my fun. I'll have to fly high above for a place in the sun. I'll find the unknown. I build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone.
To women especially, the following words are respectfully addressed. Here's how many women talk about chocolate pudding.
My family.
Thank you.
out the new year in. 1937, 38, 39. To those who built this country, we dedicate this composition and to the new year. And so it goes on. Past upon a foundation intended to last, a nation fashioned through the ages, a never-ending history with ever-turning pages. So it goes on, age after age, each generation adding a page. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on. Beggar or king, a link in the chain, things that they do forever remain. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on. They who built before us gave us our land of today, left content that we would keep it that way. And so we go on, we of today, following those who showed us the way. We leave our mark and are gone, and so it goes on, on, on. Bowl game and half a dozen other postseason contests in one bowl or another, just over the horizon, football is enjoying its final brief moment in the news of 1937. We turn our own spotlight tonight toward Pasadena and New Year's Day with a unique pigskin drama based on a Collier's Magazine short story by Eustace Cockrell entitled Happy New Year, Pop. To play this study in character, we have engaged another superlative actor who has long evaded our grasp, to wit, the veteran Mr. Frank Craven, who arrived only this week from Hollywood. In Hollywood, Frank is better known possibly as a writer and director than as an actor. Here in New York, the full scope of his talent is better appreciated. Yesterday, he started rehearsal in a new play by Thornton Wilder called Our Town. We are able to present Mr. Craven through the cooperation of Jed Harris, his producer, whose new version of A Doll's House is Manhattan's latest hit. Frank Craven in a gridiron comedy, Happy New Year, Pop. Place, the Rose Bowl, Pasadena. Time, New Year's Day, between the halves of the annual Tournament of Roses championship football game. Scene, the dressing room of one of the two teams. The head coach, Pop Rourke, surveys his charges, seated in shame-faced silence along a row of locker benches. He glowers at them for a long minute, then speaks.
Well, gentlemen, here we are. What have you got to say for yourselves? Well, you can't block and you won't talk, eh? Come on, gentlemen, where are those alibis?
Now, we were in there trying, Pop, all the time we were trying.
Sure, sure, you always try, up to and including a certain point. I've reached that point now, and I'm going to stop trying. I'm through here, boys, through. I can't stand another year like this. But don't you kids feel bad about it. It doesn't matter a hoot. It's a game, just a game. One of the silliest games ever invented. You, McDonald, stand up.
Yes, sir.
Exhibit A, gentlemen. James Sheridan McDonald, our great left tackle. Been playing tackle for 8 years. 4 in high school, 4 here. Weight, 2'4". In fair shape. Drinks a little, smokes a little, during season. I don't care. I teach him how to play tackle, and he lets a sophomore. He outweighs 20 pounds, make him look like he never saw a football. Why? I don't know why. Yes, I do. I could tell him. I've been telling him for 3 years. I'm sick to death of telling him. I'm a failure, boys. Look, I'm 45 years old. Believe it or not, I was an All-American football player once. That's what ruined me. I got a job coaching because I was an All-American football player. When you boys grow up, get a job where you work with men, not with children. 13-0 here at halftime, and me with my job going and me glad of it. I think about plays and I lie awake wondering if Harvey Bang's there. Yes, you, Harvey. Whether you've got enough help to pass your chemistry exam and stay eligible. I talk to your instructor, and I worry to death about you. And then it turns out you ain't a football player. Just a big satchel tail with not enough sense to remember signals and not enough muscle to take out an end that ain't as big as you are. But I admire you for that, Harvey. I admire you. Or rather, I envy you, my boy. Because in me, you see the result of being able to play football. It made a failure out of me. For the love of Mike McDonald, sit down.
Ah, Pop, lay off, will you? We were in there.
I'm Mahoney.
You have no imagination. Look at him, gentlemen. Captain Mahoney, the inspired field general. Captain Mahoney, the elusive wraith. Captain Mahoney, the red-headed Red Raider from Reading, PA. Ha, ha! Captain Mahoney, the thick Irish lug.
Ah, Pop, lay off, will you?
Look at him. The great Mahoney bearing his pain as he has his ankles taped. Lying there, counting his bruises, but muttering to himself, carry on, Mahoney. That mood, that carry on Mahoney mood, that'll last until the band dies down. And their big fullback starts playing, Let's Make Mahoney Bounce. Then Mahoney will be wondering whether or not it's worth bouncing for. Mahoney is just as big as their fullback and a little faster. Their fullback is just a hard-working Polish boy who hasn't heard that Mahoney is an inspired field general or an elusive rake. That big fullback probably don't read the papers even. He probably studies his lessons and goes to bed early. But you can tell he's having fun today. He likes to bounce, Mahoney. Uh-huh. I recognize yon snicker. It comes from old reliable Marston, our demon center. Ha! Ha! He's so reliable he can absolutely be counted on for a couple of bad passes every game. Why? I don't know. One of those mysteries of the gridiron, I suppose.
Ha-ha.
He laughs. The man with the proper attitude. He laughs at a middle-aged man telling the truth. Nothing is funnier than the truth unless it's a middle-aged man telling the truth. That combination is sure fire like Charlie McCarthy.
Hey, 5 minutes to go, Pop.
Thanks, kid. I'm nearly finished. In more ways than one, boys. Well, Welch and Evans, guards.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, no, no. Don't stand up. I'm afraid you'll fall over. Guards. You're guards because it says so on the program. But what are you guard? You can't be guarding your looks because either one of you could scare a little children at 50 yards on a clear day. By the way, why don't you try that? scowl at your opponents. It might tire you out, but after that first half, you ought to be fresh. Give it a try. Don't guard anything. Just scowl. There may be a movie producer in the stands with a pair of binoculars. Karloff can't last forever. Well, I'm glad of one thing. The uniforms are different. The other team is in my backfield so much, I think I'd have 15 men on the field if it wasn't for the uniforms being different. The ball is snapped, and then all at once there are my four men and three or four little strangers all in my backfield, making a total of seven or eight. Lad, it gives it a weird effect.
Aw, Pop, why don't you quit kidding around? We were in there...
Shut up, Mahoney. Keep quiet, all of you. Maybe I'm crazy. An old man looking at the autumn of his life down in a cold, stinking dressing room in this awful climate with a bunch of kids making a fool out of him by listening to him. Well, let's go to town. Listen to this. I've got a wife and two kiddies, boys. I'm losing my job because you're letting me down. I'm too old to make a fresh start. I never saved anything. I've got to go on. Won't you go out there and win for my little ones, 26 years old and 24 years old, respectively? When I left my wife, she looked up at me with tears in her eyes and she said, won't you ask the boys to win this one for my sake, for our home, for our future? I said, okay, Toots. And the woman next to her said, three spades. And she didn't double. Ace, queen to five, singled an ace of diamonds and then vulnerable. She sat there and didn't double. That's your fault, too. She got to thinking about me losing my job. I could go on giving you instances like that all afternoon, but the time is about up. My ends are no good. My guards have palsy. My tackles are strictly from hunger. My center is liable to pass into deep left field any minute. The rest of my backs ain't as bad as Mahoney, but in their quiet way, they're pretty ripe. And even if you guys were good, the other guys are good too. No matter how you kids give out next half, it'll still wind up 13-0.
Hey, Pop, 4 minutes. Time to leave.
Okay, kid. Well, gentlemen, get a move on. The sports writers are waiting. Grantland, Rice, and the Associated Press expect every man to do his duty. Go on out there and mold your characters. Go on. Well, what is it now? Mutiny?
Well, Pop, we got something to say. Something to give you. The boys all chipped in and bought it. It's a watch. Here. From us to you. Read what it says on it, Pop. Go ahead.
Happy New Year to the one and only Pop Rourke from the champions of 1937 who can take it. Boys, you're as cocky as I used to be once. Go on, get out there now. You're undefeated for the season. You're 13 points ahead. You're the best doggone team in the country. I know it. You know it. In 30 minutes, the whole cockeyed world will know it. But please, please get out there and protect that lead. Let's go, gentlemen. The great Mahoney rides again.
WEAF, New York.
Our guests on the Rose Bowl game, California 13, Alabama nothing. But don't blame us. The Royal Gelatin Hour, with Fred Hildebrand, Tommy Riggs, and Frank Sullivan still in the offing. To the fore now, getting us underway again musically, Rosalie.
dream, my dream. Since one night when stars danced above, I'm all so much in love. So Rosalie, have mercy. Rosalie, don't decline. Won't you make my life thrilling and tell me that you're willing to be mine, Rosalie,
Last New Year's Day, Tommy Riggs was comparatively unknown outside Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. This New Year's Day, Tommy's fame is nationwide. Even so, there are still a few people who don't know that Tommy and Betty Lou are non-detachable. That, speaking plainly, Tommy does both voices with his own peculiar vocal apparatus. Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou.
Yes, Betty Lou.
Are you awfully happy?
Why, yes, of course. I'm very happy. Why shouldn't I be?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, why did you ask me if I was happy then?
Oh, just because.
Just because what?
Because I bet you wouldn't be happy if you couldn't sit down.
If I couldn't sit down?
Yes, if you couldn't sit down because it hurts like everything.
What hurts?
I do, where I sit down.
Now, just a moment, Betty Lou. Did you get a spanking?
Yes, I did.
Oh, now I get it.
Why do you get it?
Why do I get what?
A spanking.
I don't get a spanking, Betty.
Well, you just said you would.
No. What I meant was I finally understood why you can't sit down.
Why?
Why? Because you said you couldn't. Now, what brought this spanking on?
On me?
Yes.
A hairbrush.
No doubt, but what I mean is, who gave you the spanking?
My mommy, and that's why I think some things are awful funny sometimes. You know why?
No, why?
Because when my mommy spanked me, she said, "This is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you."
Yes, and it probably did, Betty Lou.
It hurt my mommy worse than it hurt me?
Yes.
But, Mr. Tommy, Mommy can sit down all right.
But your mother meant that it made her very sad to have to spank you.
Well, it made me very sad, too, and everything, don't you?
Don't I what?
Don't you know that my Mommy and Daddy had a party at our house last night?
A party?
Yes, and Mr. Graham McNamee was there, too.
Now, don't tell me, Betty Lou, that you got a spanking as a result of something that you did to Mr. McNamee.
I didn't do anything to Mr. McNamee because he was awful busy playing a game.
Well, what kind of a game?
A game like post office.
Like post office?
Yes, only it wasn't.
It wasn't?
No, it was a game where all the ladies were supposed to kiss the men or else give them a box of chocolates.
The ladies had to kiss the men or else give them a box of chocolates. Well, I imagine Graham was very lucky.
Oh, yes, he got 27 boxes of chocolates, too.
Well, by the way, Betty Lou, do these chocolates have anything to do with the spanking you received?
Oh, no, Mr. Tommy, it wasn't the chocolates, it was the letters.
Letters, post office. What letters, Betty Lou?
The letters that I gave to everyone on the street where I live.
Oh, so you've been writing letters.
Oh, no, I found the letters, but I wished I hadn't.
Well, just where did you find the letters?
I found them upstairs in my mommy's trunk, and they were all tied up with a pink ribbon, too.
Well, Betty Lou, I'm surprised.
Yes, and so was Mommy when everybody brought the letters back to her, too.
Well, Betty Lou, if I were you, I'd resolve right now to be a good little girl and keep out of mischief.
Well, how do you do that, Mr. Tommy?
Keep out of mischief?
know. Resolve.
Well, for instance, you say after me. I resolved during 1938.
You resolved during 1938.
No, Betty Lou. Not me, you.
Well, aren't you going to do it, too?
Yes, I'll do it, too. Now, let's start from the beginning. I resolved during 1938.
I resolved during 1938, and you do, too.
Yeah. To be a good little girl.
To be a good little girl, and you do, too.
And keep out of mischief.
And keep out of mischief.
Yes. Now, do you understand that, Betty Lou?
Oh, yes, Mr. Tommy. Now, can I show you what I have in my pocket?
Why, certainly.
See?
Two eggs. Well, what do you intend to do with the eggs, Betty?
Oh, a trick that Uncle Petey did at the party. Now, I'll take this hat here.
Wait a minute, Betty Lou. That's my hat.
Yes, and it's awful pretty, Mr. McNamee. Now, I'll break the eggs into the hat like this.
Betty Lou, what are you doing?
There now, Mr. Tommy. What do you see in the hat?
Well, young lady, all I see are two raw eggs in there.
That's funny.
What's funny?
Well, after Uncle Petey broke the eggs, there was only a rabbit in the hat.
Ah, dear me, Betty Lou, there goes your resolution.
And there goes my hat.
Yes, and something tells me I better go, too. Sweetie pie. A little bit sugar, a little bit honey, a little bit sad and a little bit funny.
You are my sweetie pie.
Sweetie pie. A little bit good and a little bit naughty, a little bit proud and a little bit haughty.
Still you're my sweetie pie. Don't you sigh. How the time is gonna fly till I meet you with the preacher by and by.
Sweetie pie. Put your wee head up on my shoulder.
Wait until you get a little bit older. You'll be mine.
Sweetie pie.
Which brings us by easy stages to matters of supreme importance.
Ask a woman about her favorite desserts, and she's very apt to say,
I like those royal desserts best. They're all marvelous tastes.
As a song, you're as sweet as a song, for you possess all the warm tenderness of auld lang syne. Sweet as a tune, serenade to the moon, you'll always be like the quaint harmony of sweet Adeline. Sweet as a song, you're as sweet as a song. You're a chorus of trees, you're a lovely reprise of Kiss Me Again. Darling, when you're in my arms, nothing could ever go wrong. As long as you remain a haunting refrain, you're sweet as a song.
Oh,
takes all kinds of people to make a town like this, New York. To the gentleman, now trembling slightly in the wings, New York owes many a quiet chuckle during the course of the past 10 years. When the late lamented New York Morning World was in its prime, Frank was one of a brilliant band of writers who made that newspaper the brightest in the land. Since the world came to an end, his stuff has been appearing almost weekly in the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Sullivan has a unique hobby. You will find it an amusing novelty, we think. Enter Frank Sullivan, humorist. Are you nervous, Frank?
Oh, no, Mr. Valley. I'm quite cool and collected, thank you.
Just how cool are you, Mr. Sullivan?
As cool as a cucumber.
I thought so. Now, if you were nervous, Mr. Sullivan, how nervous would you be?
As nervous as a witch, of course. I would probably tremble with emotion.
And how would you tremble?
Visibly, Mr. Valley, visibly.
Just as I expected. You see, audience, Mr. Sullivan's hobby is collecting clichés. Some people collect stamps, coins, or first editions. Frank collects clichés or bromides, words and phrases that have been worn threadbare by constant use, stereotyped ways of saying things that lazy-minded people use over and over again. Why do you collect clichés, Mr. Sullivan?
Because everybody ought to have a hobby.
I understand that you have a very fine set of Christmas and New Year clichés in your possession.
How did you know that, Mr. Valley?
It has been called to my attention, Mr. Sullivan.
Say, you're pretty good yourself. As a matter of fact, I brought my holiday clichés with me tonight.
Good. I shall question you closely. First, when does Christmas come?
That's easy. Christmas comes but once a year.
Very good, very good. And what is on earth at Christmas?
What was formerly known as peace is on earth this Christmas, Mr. Valley.
Where did you have your Christmas dinner, Mr. Sullivan?
I had my Christmas dinner from soup to nuts.
No, I mean, in what place?
Oh, in the bosom of my family.
What took place at the railroad stations on the day before Christmas?
A holiday exodus took place. Thousands jammed every available means of conveyance.
And what kind of shoppers did you see late in the afternoon of the day before Christmas?
Last-minute Christmas shoppers.
And what were they doing?
They were scurrying home.
How did you wrap your parcels, Mr. Sullivan?
Oh, that's elementary. I wrapped them securely and mailed them early.
Now, Mr. Sullivan, what is it that will rain throughout the country tomorrow night?
You mean New Year's Eve?
Yes. Tomorrow night, New Year's Eve.
An atmosphere of carnival gaiety will reign tomorrow night.
Who will provide this atmosphere of carnival gaiety?
Carefree throngs of holiday merrymakers.
What will the carefree throngs do to the New Year?
They will usher in the New Year.
Can't the New Year come in any other way?
No, it has to be ushered in.
I see. Now, what is it the merrymakers are going to do to the welkin tomorrow night?
They are going to make the welkin ring.
And where will joy be?
Joy will be unconfined. Corks will pop. There will be a din of horns.
Until morning, eh?
Oh, Rudy, don't say morning. The correct phrase is the wee small hours.
I'm sorry. Well, when the wee small hours are used up and the real morning has come, how is that referred to?
That is referred to as the morning after the night before.
And what do the carefree throngs of holiday merrymakers say in the morning after the night before?
They say, oh, my head.
What else?
They also say, never again.
What is it they turn over?
A new leaf.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Well, I think you've got most of the holiday chestnuts in your collection.
I strive to please, Rudy.
Are you going to make any New Year resolutions?
Just one. I'm going to make a New Year resolution not to make any New Year resolutions.
There's a cliche for you.
Ain't that something? But, Rudy, I really am going to make one resolution. I'm going to try to give up whatting during 1938.
Give up whatting? What is whatting?
What?
I said, what is whatting?
You see, I just did it. A whatter is a fellow who always makes you repeat what you have already said. A whatter is a man who, when you say, what is whatting, answers what, although he has heard you perfectly and does not need to say what. He just wants to put you to that extra trouble.
Now that I think of it, I've been up against that type.
The woods are full of them, Rudy. and they constitute one of the great menaces to the peace of mind of this country. The habit grows on the water. He starts saying what without realizing it. Now, the first thing he knows, he is also saying, huh. And then he is saying what and huh. And by that time, he's incurable. That's why I want to get after myself now. I haven't started saying huh yet.
Well, I certainly hope you'll be able to keep your resolution to give up whatting, Frank.
What?
I said so long. See you in the funny papers.
So long, Rudy. Don't take any wooden nickels.
It is my humble opinion that the finest brass sections are in the bands of Casaloma, Hal Kemp, Horace Height, and Ozzie Nelson. Ozzie, together with Tom Bennett, one of his ace trumpeters, has depicted in music the sounds made by our own subways here in New York. In fact, they called it Subway. Presenting for his first solo appearance on a major program, Fred Hildebrand. In the intervals between dates on the road, Fred inhabits the Lambs Club, where he is built up among the actors who make that comfortable nook a rendezvous, an enviable reputation for wit and humor. As a result of years of travel, Fred has acquired an intimate knowledge of travelers, particularly one universal type, the brash, breezy, ball of fire brand of traveling salesman, who is always the life of the Pullman smoking room, the pest who always preempts the last mirror when you want to shave in the morning. But Fred will give you a better idea of it. Scene, a Pullman washroom. Enter Fred Hildebrand as Breezy Bill, the Big Wind, Demon Drummer, and Bouncing Boar.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Here's my card. Pardon if it's a little bit dirty. I should have had it laundered. You know, gents, I'm just a hot chimney, a hot chimney. It says on the card, BB, business broker, big brains, brainy broker, big bum. Anyway, you take me, it's me. Yes, sir, you know, I had a wonderful night's sleep in that old upper last night. I certainly did. I couldn't have slept any better if I'd been in Philadelphia. That's a funny one, yes? No? All right. Say, brother, could I trouble you for a light? Thanks. Why, Mike, can you beat that? I haven't any cigarettes. I'll just take one of yours, if you don't mind. Thanks again. They're my favorite brand, too. You know, a funny thing happened on the train a while ago. It certainly did. It seems that during the night, a guy's toupee fell off. And when the porter called him this morning, he looked in the mirror, saw his ball pate, and said, "Hey, porter, you woke up the wrong guy." That's a funny one, yes? No? All right. Oh, by the way, partner, could I trouble you for your shaving cream? Thanks. What's that? This is your razor? Well, can you imagine that? I thought it felt kind of strange. Personally, you know, I never use a straight razor. Cuts a man's face up like the linoleum in an all-night restaurant. And that'd never do for me, boys, because, you know, I'm just a hot chimney. Say, that mirror's getting all steamed up. Just as well, though, with all these dopey-looking faces in here. You know, the last time I was over this line, there was a guy in here so ugly that when he looked in that mirror, it frowned for 2 days afterwards. Say, would you mind letting me use your comb and brush? Thanks. Oh, look at that, gee, I broke 3 teeth out of it. Oh, well, it wasn't a very good comb anyhow. You can buy one for a dime anyway, brother. Don't worry about it. Say, has anyone got another cigarette? Don't all answer at once. Never mind. I see a package in this coat pocket here. I'll just take a couple. You know, I sure like a smoke before breakfast. Picks a fellow up. Oh, boy, what a great day it is. The sun is shining. The fields are green. Say, that'll make a great title for a song. The sun is shining, the fields are green. Boop, 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 boop. You know, I'm just a kid. My voice is changing. You know, I should have some offers from the Metropolitan. And I don't mean museum. Yes, sir, gents. I'm just a hot chimney. Say, did any of you guys see that cute little redhead that got on last night? Huh? Boy, could I go for her. That's your wife. Well, shake, kid. My name's Hillebrand. I'll drop over to your table at breakfast. I'd like to meet the little woman. What's that, brother? I've got on your shirt. You know, I thought it felt rather tight. Here you are. Oh, dear me, I ripped off a couple of buttons. Well, they won't show way down there. Now, personally, I never liked those kind of shirts. The collars shrink up so tight they make you look like you're blushing every time you put one of them on. Say, listen, did any of you gents hear the story about the colored boy who bet another colored boy 4 bits he could sleep in a haunted house all night? Oh! This'll kill you. It killed me, but I didn't lay down. What's that? I should have? He's only kidding, boys. You know, I heard this story at a party at the hotel in Detroit last Thursday. The guy who told it to me is in women's dresses. I mean, that's the line he carries. Well, when he told it to me, I nearly died left. Well, this colored boy slept in the haunted house. No, that's not the way it goes. Now, let me see. How does that go? What's that, partner? What? I've got on your socks. What do you think of that? Well, here they are. I thought they had too many holes in them to be mine. You're certainly going down in defeat, aren't you? That's a funny one, yes? No? All right. Well, as I was saying, the colored boy agreed to sleep in the haunted house, and next morning the whole back end of the house was torn out, and the kid wasn't to be found anywhere. Next day they found him about 40 miles up the road, and the guy said, Sambo, that was the kid's name, he said, Sambo, where have you been? The colored boy rolled his eyes, dug his feet in the ground, and said with typical boyish restraint, he says, Boss man, I's been a-coming back here. That's the end of the joke, boys. The end of it. You know, I could keep you in hysterics like this all morning. You know, you gents, I'm just a hot chimney. What's that? I've been sitting on your coat? I wondered whose it was. It's not wrinkled much. Your tailor can press it in a minute. What? What? You can't find your tie. Well, don't look at me. My, isn't that a coincidence? It looked just like mine. They're both red. Accidents will happen, you know. Bless my soul, this is my station already. Well, I'll have to be getting a move on. What'd you say, brother? What? I have your grip. Can you beat me? I forgot I was traveling light this time. All I brought was my toothbrush. Well, so long, fellas. What? It's your toothbrush. Well, pardon me, so it is. Well, I'm mighty glad you boys have had the pleasure of meeting me. And if I didn't tell you before, gents, I'm telling you now. I'm just a hot chimney. Adios.
May we remind you once again of certain matters of interest to one and all. This week... Next week, we start the new year right with a show full of new people, new music, new stuff. The Valley Company will see the new year in at the Westchester Country Club up at Rye. We'll be seeing you there. And this is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
Sweet as a Song is from the production Sally, Irene, and Mary. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
I'm near this pain means that you're crying.